Listen, this morning we're starting something brand new, a new series, and it's not going to be new information. If you've been around here for a while at Grace Point, we're going to talk for the next 4 weeks about our Grace Point Church core values. That was almost a tongue twister there for a second. Our Grace Point core values. It's love God, love others, give excellence, and have fun. And that's the sort of the message that keeps us on task around here. And it's all biblical. We're not just making up stuff as we go. And so this morning we're going to talk about loving God, what it means to love God. Just look at somebody close by you and go, I love you. Now, if it's your spouse, look back at him and go, I love you. Give him some of that. There you go. All right. No, dog. All right. There are different kinds of love in the Bible, all right? There's physical love and there's friendship love, and it gives us all these different words for it. And so when it's talking about us loving God, I want us to unpack that just a little bit this morning. Every one of us is called to love God with our whole heart. And so Jesus has given us some commandments, and the Old Testament gave us some commandments. He told us things that we should do and things that we shouldn't do. He said, honor your father and mother, right? That was a command. That's sort of said in a positive tone. It tells you to go do something. And in the same list of 10 commandments, he tells you some things not to do. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. So he told you, honor your father and mother. And that's something you should do. He also said, here's something you shouldn't do, all right? Don't be killing people. Don't be stealing stuff. And he didn't just say, you know, on a good day, don't kill anybody. He's like, this is a command. Don't be killing people, all right? Don't be stealing people's stuff. Don't be looking at somebody else's wife or husband. He gives us these commands. And then we move all the way to the New Testament. And this is where we're going to open our Bibles this morning. Mark chapter 12. He gives us a brand new set of commandments. Now, he says, you need to keep living by the old ones, right? But watch this. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commands, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. He said all of those others are important. He's like, you still don't need to be killing people. You still don't need to be stealing from people. You still need to honor your father and mother. But the most important one of all is that you love God. The Lord your God, and he lists with your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. So he was, in the Old Testament, he gave us a checklist. Don't do these things and you're good. In the New Testament, he comes along and he says, hey, you're going to keep doing all that stuff, but you're going to do all those things. And you're going to follow those commandments because you follow this one first. Love the Lord your God. He said, he's really showing us that if you love God, then some of these other things are just going to naturally take care of themselves. If you love your spouse, you go home at night. You don't stay out somewhere without telling them where you're going to be. It's out of love. It's not a checkbox. Okay, I checked the boxes, right? I did the dishes. I showed up tonight. I didn't stay out with the boys all night. Check, check, check. No. Here's what your wife wants to know, fellas. Do you love me? Amen. Do you love me? That's from a lady who knows her husband loves her. All right? Yeah. So nobody has to give me the checklist, right? I love the loudmouth lady in the corner over here. Here you go. So because of that love, I'm going to go home. I'm going to do the things I'm supposed to do. I'm going to get it wrong from time to time. But because she loves me, she forgives those things. It works both ways. So in the Old Testament, he said, here's some stuff you should not do. Here's some stuff you should do. Here's a list of commandments. In the New Testament, he says, hey, the greatest, the most important one of all, love the Lord your God. He changed it to relationship. You see, when you go to work, you look at the manual, right? Here's your job description. Check, 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 check. Showed up at 7 o'clock, took a break, did this. I did everything I was supposed to do. Check, check, check. Why? Because there's no relationship. You don't go to work because you love the boss. Just think of who the boss is. I hope you love him, but you're not there because you love the boss. You're there to check all the boxes so that you can get a paycheck at the end of it. God said, here's the boxes. In the Old Testament, I need you to check all the boxes. In the New Testament, he said, we're taking this thing to the next level. I want a relationship with you. I want you to love me. And then all these boxes will start to take care of themselves. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. He said, I want you to give it everything you've got. So how do we grow in this love? Because God's always asking us to grow. There will never be a time in your Christian life that you can sit still and be okay. God constantly wants you growing. We've used this analogy before. If you are doing, men, women, whoever you are, if you're doing the same things at 50 that you were doing at 18, you are not growing. I'm just going to let you know, people don't like you. If you're doing the same stuff, there's stuff that 18-year-olds do, and we go, well, he's 18. It's okay. That's what I did when I was 18. It's okay. If I do the same thing today, I would not be your pastor for very long, all right? That's just the truth. We grow. We take our next step in our journey with the Lord. Every day is a next step. We talk about that all the time around here. What's your next step? What's the next thing? What has God got you doing next? And every step that you take is going to be a challenge. I can't move forward without exerting some energy. It takes some energy. There's some resistance to this. And if you're a runner, we got some runners I know right here on the front row. They probably ran 500 miles this morning before church. Taylor, right there. You probably ran to church and didn't even sweat, didn't you? I know. It's probably what you did. Listen, there's some energy that goes into that. You got to eat the right carbs to do that stuff, but not too many, right? And so you got to put some energy in it, right? So when you do that, you take your next step. God wants us to take our next step in loving him, in our relationship with him. So how do we do that? I'm just going to share three things with you this morning. Here's the first one. Make my love for God the key feature of my life. Of all the commandments, which is the most important? Love the Lord your God. The most important thing that can happen. He says this is number one. At the top of every list in your life, the most important thing is love the Lord your God. If somebody were to ask your friend or your spouse to describe you, what would they say? What would be the first thing? Would they say, well, he's kind of angry a lot. I don't know. You know, I don't. Would that be the defining feature of your life? Or is it something else? Now listen, we're taking steps, right? We're growing one step at a time. So maybe the love of God, the love for God, is not the key feature in your life right now, but it's the direction you're heading. What is the thing that people remember about you? Is it the love of God? Because when I love God, I start to exclude some things out of my life. I start to get rid of some things. Exodus 20 and 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. It's the power of exclusion. I'm getting rid of this stuff out of my life because this is not going to help me. When I've been a part of many wedding ceremonies over the years. I don't even know. Dozens, hundreds. I don't even know how many it's been. Lots of them. And almost every one of those ceremonies, we say something like this, forsaking all others. In other words, you're off the market. No matter who you see from this point forward, you are locked down, forsaking everybody else. Now, when it comes to our relationship with God, he's saying the same things. Don't have any other gods before me. Make sure that you handle this the right way. It means that we're letting go of our own comforts, our own desires, and we're saying, God, I want what you want first. Jesus gave us this example. See, Jesus gave up the comforts of heaven, and he chose the constraints of time and space and hunger pains and people problems to come and be the sacrifice for you and me so we could experience the love of God that like we could have never done without his sacrifice. Now, when we sacrifice that, when we accept that sacrifice, we say, I'm forsaking all others. I'm eliminating competing loves. I'm choosing God. Now listen, if you're going to choose to love God, it's not going to be like the end of a love story movie where at the end, you know, they run together and the hair is flowing and the music is playing and then the credits start and you're like, well, they made it. No, they didn't. They got to learn to live together now. Beauty and the Beast, I bet you he was a beast the next day. I'm just saying, I bet you there was some stuff to work through. It's not the end of a movie where we go, oh, I love God, now it's just going to be wonderful. No, you live on planet Earth. There are going to be days when there are competing choices, when I got to make a decision to love God first, when I have to make a decision to let God, the love for God, be the defining force in my life. I'll have to make choices along the way. I'll have to do things to nurture this relationship with God. But when I choose to make it the key feature of my life, it gives me a daily goal. Love God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength, everything about me. Just love him. But I'm going to have to make choices today. Here's the second way we can nurture our love for God. Live passionately for God. Be passionate for God. Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You know what that means? Everything. Every fiber of your being. Every ounce of my strength should go to loving God. Because when I love God, I'll check all the boxes over here. I'll do all the things I'm supposed to do. If I go all in on this relationship with God, I put him first. I live passionately for God. In the Old Testament, it was referred to as wholehearted devotion to God. In the New Testament, it's referred to as zeal for God or enthusiasm for God. Now think about this. What if you just got married and you hear your spouse? Somebody says, well, how's it going? And she, fellas, she says, it's all right. I mean, you know, you know, he's got a decent job, and he looks okay. And what would you feel like? You'd be like, what in the world have I done? I was her second choice, and she knows I was her second choice. Nobody wants that. We want to marry somebody who has a passion for us, who has an enthusiasm for our relationship together. Now, when we recognize that, when we're living in that, with God, we understand that he is the one who loves us. And we can trust him along this journey. And we have passion for him, and he shows up in ways that we could have never imagined. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. He said, you're going to have to make sure that you are passionate about this. In marriages that are happy, they continue to date. They continue to focus on each other. They continue to build their relationship. Their love for each other grows. I've heard more than, I don't even know how many couples over the years that have said, we love each other more now than we did the day we got married. Now listen, that didn't just happen. They didn't just start walking through life aimlessly and get to that point. No, no, they chose some things. They chose to have enthusiasm and zeal about their relationship for each other. God's asking the same thing for us. The Bible even says to us that lukewarm enthusiasm is nauseating to Jesus. And listen, it says it. Look at Revelation 3. I know your deeds. Now, listen, first of all, when God says to you, I know your deeds, you're like, oh, man, I know. There's some stuff. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Can I just take this a step further and say, no, he's about to throw up. You're just making him sick. No passion. You're just lukewarm. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just showing up. Going back to this marriage, this wedding analogy, as a part of those ceremonies over the years, here's the words I have said dozens of times. To have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until we are separated by death. As God is my witness, I give you my promise. And they're usually, by that point, they're in tears. One of them's choked up. I don't know if they realize the mistake they made or if they're just that happy. I don't know. It's not a mistake. They're just so happy. That passion is just overflowing. They just can't stand it. I've stood by so many grooms that his bride walks in and he just turns into a blubbering baby up here. He's just passionate for her. There's a whole bunch of other women in the room. He hadn't looked at any of them. It's just her. He's just passionate for her. That's what we want to hear in sickness and in health. Here's what we don't want to hear. I like you a lot. I'm pretty sure I'm going to want to see you every day for the rest of my life. As long as you're not too sick, I'm going to stick around. Come on now. As long as you're not too poor, we're good. As long as there's more better than worse, I'll hang around a while. All right. Nobody wants to hear that. We're actually wired to hear, I love you. You are the one I've been waiting on my whole life. I can't believe it. I hope you never go anywhere. I love you with everything in my heart. I'm willing to forsake all others. I'm willing to focus on you. You're the one for me. Now, you said it in different words, but that's what you said. That's what we all want to hear. And when it comes to our relationship with God, he wants us to be passionate about him. He wants us to love him. He doesn't want us embarrassed about our relationship with him when we meet people that are not in a relationship with him. Can you imagine saying to your spouse, I got some friends over here, but I don't really want them to meet you. Just stay in the car. You might be married, but it ain't going to be passionately married after that, I can tell you that. And yet when our relationship with God, he wants us to love God every day. When we're on the clock at work and when we're around the dinner table at home, he doesn't want us pushing him outside saying, I love you, but I don't need you in my life right now. He wants us to be passionate about him. Here's number three. If I want to grow in my relationship with God, live to please God. Live to please God. 1 John 5 and 3 says this. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. His commands are not burdensome. He said, if you'll focus on the love part, the commands won't be a big deal. You can handle this. John 14, he says this over and over in several verses. If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. He says it over and over, by desiring to please him. That's what he's saying. That you love him so much that you want to do what he wants. Many years ago, there was these little bracelets, the What Would Jesus Do bracelet. And they're great. I'm not picking on it. But the better question is not what would Jesus do, but what would please Jesus? What would make him happy about my relationship with him? What would please him today? Our love will prompt us to obey him and not just have good feelings about him. See, we get good feelings when we all come together at 10:30 on Sunday morning. It just feels good. You get to see everybody. Smiles. You don't get this many hugs all week long. I mean, you don't get this many smiles all week long. You get to walk in here and it feels like a family and people love each other and encouraging one another. Just feels good. But feelings are not enough. God is asking us to be prompted, to let our love prompt us to obey him on Monday and Tuesday and every day of the week, that we have a relationship with him that shows up in how we act. I'm going to ask the band to come on and get ready. We're going to receive communion together and honor the Lord together as a part of our love for God in just a few minutes. Why would I love Jesus? Why would I love Jesus? Why would I surrender my life to him? I think there's a bunch of reasons, but I'm going to give you my top four from Scripture. I love him because he first loved me. That's what the Bible says. Because he first loved me. See, when I met him, he was perfect and I was not, and I'm still not. He loved me first, makes me want to love him more. How about he cares about me? The Bible says we worry about everything. We're looking for our next meal, and we're looking for the next thing that we need. And God said, look, if you'll just focus on me, I'll provide all that stuff for you. If you'll seek me first, put me first, I'll take care of all that stuff for you. Why would I love Jesus? Because he forgives me. Because he forgives me. John 3:17 says he didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world so that it could be saved, so that you and I, who were messed up and in need of a Savior, could be saved. He's not looking at you hoping to condemn you today. He's looking at you in love this morning. Why would I love him? Because he loves me. He forgives me. And here's the fourth reason I think I would love Jesus. He died in my place. He gave it all up just for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came just for me, just for you. He died in our place. He loves us. Surely we can love for him. Have love for him. Have love for God. That's why it's a core value around here. If I love God and you love God, we're heading in the same direction and we'll work things out. We'll figure it out together. If our goal is to love God first above every other command, we're going to the same place. If you don't know Jesus today, if you don't have God in your life, then I want to lead you in this simple prayer. We like to say around here, it's as easy as A, B, C. I have to admit that I've sinned. Can we all admit? Well, I think we all know. We're jacked up. We need Jesus. We admit that we've sinned. We believe in Jesus and who he said he was. And then we confess him as Lord of our life. We're just saying, Lord, I surrender it to you. So we admit our sins. We believe in Jesus. We confess him as Lord of our life. And that's where our journey with Christ starts. And your love for God today is not what it's going to be next year. Your love for God is going to grow. It's going to become stronger. So today, you just start a journey. You start a relationship. The first time I asked my wife on a date, I said, hey, we were on a college campus. Would you like to go out before Christmas? And she said, yes. She didn't love me. She didn't even know me. We had barely met each other, but our love for each other has grown over the years. So God might be screaming at you this morning, hey, I'd like to build a relationship with you. All you got to do is say yes. Just say yes. We're going to pray. If this is your time to surrender your life to God, pray it in your own, words, and just trust him today. Start your journey with the Lord. Here we go. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Lord, there's one person watching online this morning or here in the room who has yet to surrender their lives to you. I pray, Lord, right now, they would admit their sin, they would believe on you, they would confess you as Lord and start their journey with you today. Lord, help them to give them the courage to just listen to that voice that's drawing them towards you today. And then, Lord, as they start to grow, we pray that that love for you would grow every single day. And Lord, that relationship with you would become more fulfilling than it's ever been. And Lord, as we're about to receive communion together, we just pray, Lord, that for all of us, even the ones who love you, who have been walking with you for a long time, Lord, if we have unconfessed sin in our lives, we just confess that to you today, Lord. We don't want to receive communion with things in our life that shouldn't be there. Lord, we just ask you to cleanse us and forgive us and purify us today. Your word tells us if we confess it, you'll forgive it. We're confessing it today, Lord. We ask for your help. God, we thank you for all you've done. And Lord, as we receive communion together, we pray that you would bless these next few minutes, Lord. Let this moment, Lord, build our love for you and our relationship with you and take it to the next level. And God, we trust you for what's happening and we thank you for what's coming right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody stand with me if you would. Amen. No matter where you've been, what you've done, what you're currently involved in, he loves you and he has a plan for you. The Old Testament said it's not plans to harm you, it's plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen. He's got something good in store. He's got something good in store. Start walking with him. Start loving him. Start nurturing that relationship with God and see where it takes you and see what God does. Here's what he said, and we're going to close. If you will seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. That's what he said. If you'll seek me with all your heart, just go all in serving and loving Jesus. You'll find me. Listen, he's the best friend you'll ever have. He's the one you want to find on every dark night. He's the one. He's the one. So don't be doing this alone. Find somebody that you trust and love, somebody that you look up to in their relationship with God. Talk to them. Ask them what they think your next step is. Start your journey with the Lord one step at a time. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing. We release it and surrender it all to you and trust you for the next step. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.